Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, this is Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. There are many life changes that can happen after divorce that make it difficult or impossible to uphold requirements of your divorce decree. The orders issued in a divorce are based on the facts presented at that time, but the circumstances used in issuing those orders can obviously change. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell.
Contact CordellCordell.com. 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
You are listening to The Bird Calls on the Off the Glass, Nothing But Net, and Up and Under networks. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today. What is up, Pelicans fans? We are winners over the Houston Rockets, a team that won 65 games last year. Of course, you are listening to the Bird Calls, and we are under the birdrights.com network, the SB Nation affiliate. I am joined here by editor-in-chief Ali Kosel, who is furiously editing my recap as we speak. We're also joined by David Grubb of Crescent City Sports. You can follow him at DM Grubb and at Ali Kosel. I, of course, am at Preston Ellis. Let's dive right on in, guys. Ali, I know you're working, so I'm going to throw it to David first. The Pelicans got off to a 14-6 run.
Hi, this is Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. There are many life changes that can happen after divorce that make it difficult or impossible to uphold requirements of your divorce decree. The orders issued in a divorce are based on the facts presented at that time, but the circumstances used in issuing those orders can obviously change. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell.
Contact CordellCordell.com. 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
Failed all the starters in double digits. The Rockets had seemingly no answer for Julius Randle, Nikola Mirotic, and Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, who came very close to a triple-double. Elfrid Payton got one of his own. Talk about just take the floor, let it flow, and talk about what stood out to you the most.
Well, I think the biggest question everybody had going into this game was what kind of defense were the Pelicans going to play? Because we didn't see the defensive intensity that you want out of a contender in the preseason. And we were constantly told by the team, it's preseason, we'll be okay. But the indicators weren't there. But tonight, the defense started the offense. They were able to force the Rockets into taking some shots that they didn't want to take. They didn't allow the Rockets to get into the lane. And I think the biggest thing was that the Pelicans, for the first time in a long time, just continued to punish mismatches. You know, we didn't see that all the time last year. There were times where the ball was forced. Tonight it flowed so well, where they recognized mismatches early, got the ball to that person, and let them make decisions. And the decisions were usually the right one tonight, whether it was Drew or Etuan or Elfrid Payton or Anthony Davis, you know, Julius Randle, Nico Mirotic. Everybody was making the right decision with the basketball tonight. People were moving off the ball. Obviously the field goal percentage was extremely high. So you don't expect it to be 60% every night over the course of a season. But, I mean, the decision-making was just so impressive tonight. And then especially for AD, you continue to see the maturing of his game. Drew Holiday looked in midseason form defensively, and he didn't have to be big offensively because everyone else was so well-rounded. So I think just the biggest thing was the decision-making. We don't know more about the bench because they didn't really play a lot of minutes. They did give up some of the lead. But I think, you know, the starting five will be as competitive as any starting five in the league. And if you're going to be play against the Pelicans, you can't show up with small guys in your front line. And the Rockets, you know, threw out a 6'4 PJ Tucker who works hard, but you can't guard Anthony Davis with him. And the switches that they were making, it was James Harden was on AD at times. Chris Paul was on AD. And Carmelo Anthony was on AD. any one of those is a bad matchup, and the Rockets just couldn't figure that out tonight.
Ali, let's start with Anthony Davis. As he was just suggesting, let's look at his final tallied stat line. 32 points, 16 rebounds, 8 assists, a career high. 7 was the previous mark. 3 steals, 3 blocks, plus 23 on the night in 39 minutes on 13 of 21 shooting. Got to the line 7 times, converted 6 of those. Thoroughly dominated Clint Capella all game long. I think Capella is fresh off that newly inked 5-year, $90 million contract, something along those lines. But he seemingly did it all, attacking PJ Tucker in the post, as Grubb just mentioned. But something that we relished early on in the second quarter, something that I saw you refer to in the on Twitter, was passing out of double teams, passing in the post, finding the cutter underneath the rim, something that we haven't really seen too much from Anthony Davis as a facilitator, getting easy looks for teammates. How has his game grown just from last season to now, Ollie?
Oh, well, you just nailed it. That's one of the biggest keys. And it was just great to see in the beginning of the game his awareness. Every time he caught the ball, he knew where every player was, where every defender was. As to where just last year, we were watching him get pickpocketed rather easily, or even his own guy guarding him would be able to strip him rather easily, whether on a drive or just holding the ball, you know. So right then and there, you already see the improvement. And then when he started making these passes, he was finding these guys that we've always dreamed about. We've always talked about, and we weren't sure if AD could add that to his game. But if game one's any indication, he definitely has. And, of course, he's also added a little bit more dribbling, a little bit more ball handling. We didn't get to see the three-point ball. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, it was spectacular, Preston. Like I said, for Anthony Davis to be able to dominate the game and possibly be in the MVP conversation realistically, he has to be able to put his team on his back like LeBron does, like Kevin Durant does. And that means facilitating for others. That means that you're not kind of a black hole in offense as to where you're relying on everybody else to get you involved. And then once you do get the touch, it ends up with you taking a shot. When we saw absolutely that was not the case tonight. So I'm excited. And this is just a wonderful thing for New Orleans. Everybody saw the numbers with AD, and that's true. He posted these huge numbers, but all of us that really followed the team closely knew that he needed to add more to his game to be able to really put, like I said, New Orleans on there, on his back. You got to be able to do just everything as an offensive player in this league if you want to carry your team offensively. And tonight we saw it.
David, there's so much to touch upon. I want to go next to, if you want to circle back to Anthony Davis, by all means. But after that, we're going to go to Nikola Mirotic and Julius Randle. They combined for 55 points on 20 of 35 shooting from the field. Nikola Mirotic was lights out from three-point range all game long, 6 of 8 from there, along with 10 rebounds. He had a double-double early in the third quarter. These guys just seemingly did it all. I mentioned Julius Randle, 25 points in 24 minutes. And not just a scoring threat, but he took the ball up and down the court. He was a movable defender. He facilitated with 3 assists. He had those 2 nice give and goes to Anthony Davis that kind of put a halt to the Houston Rockets late run in the fourth quarter as they tried to close the gap. I mean, these guys, seemingly the 3 of them together, looked unstoppable. Is this just a matchup against the Houston Rockets that the Pelicans were able to take advantage of, or do you expect them to be able to do this all season long?
Well, I think matchups certainly do figure into it. I expect them to have nights like this. They have the talent to do that. But, you know, like I said, against the Rockets, their front line was just completely mismatched tonight. You have a 210-pound, 215-pound Clint Capella, and Anthony Davis, you know, has the bulk now. They list him at 245. He looks bigger than that. And you have Julius Randle, who is just a stone mountain coming down the lane, you know, and rolling and bowling ball through people. And then Nico Mirotic at his size at 6'10 and able to shoot the ball over people. And you saw that on a number of occasions tonight. So I think, you know, the matchup certainly helped. But, no, you're not going to see 82 games of this. But, yeah, against certain teams, all 3 of them should get 25 or more. There are games when that should happen on for this group. There's going to be some nights where they struggle too, because of those matchups, I think, you know, you saw Julius take a couple threes tonight. This is a guy's a career 25% 3-point shooter. So you don't want games where he falls in love with his 3, the threat of it being there. Great. But if he starts taking 4 or 5, I think that would be too many. Even with Nico tonight, great to go 6 for, he hits his first 6 threes. Again, the Pelicans are best when their threes come in the rhythm of the offense. And I think the vast majority of them did tonight. but there are also nights when we know this team will take them in a rush. So, yeah, the matchup was favorable. But again, I would expect these guys to do this multiple times this season.
Yeah, Ali, let's move on to another guy playing his first game in a Pelicans uniform.
I just have to mention, I told you so. That's all I wanted to say. You guys wanted to say Nikola Mirotic and Julius Randle ever since Randle came on board. And I kept on saying, no, no, no. Give it a chance. Let's see what they do. But I always thought that it would probably be our best route. So it's probably only going to just be one game, but I got to just say it. Sorry, go ahead.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. You get the winner's spoils tonight. Those guys were automatic. There were always two of them on the floor at any given time. It's just a spectacular performance all the way around against the Rockets tonight, led from the beginning. This is supposed to be the greatest challenger in the Western Conference to the Warriors. They were just one Chris Paul hamstring away from advancing against the Cleveland Cavaliers and possibly winning the title, and the Pelicans had their way with them all night long, so you certainly get any spoils. Speaking of spoils, Ali, we got to talk about Elfrid Payton. 37 minutes, plus 23 on the night, 10 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. His first night as a Pelican, he gets a triple-double. I know we fall in love with the numbers, but basically we just saw him be effective. We saw him attack the rim. He didn't settle for those long jumpers. He did all the little things. Defensively, he helped keep Chris Paul and James Harden. I do want to talk about the Pelicans' game plan there. They allowed P.J. Tucker to kind of have his way, kind of have his shot. He finished with 4 of 7 from three-point range and led the Rockets with 19 points. Sorry, Eric Gordon had 21. But the Pelicans made a concerted effort from the beginning. They were not going to allow James Harden and Chris Paul to switch. They were going to double team them in those instances, leaving PJ Tucker open. But a lot of that falls to Elfrid Payton. Defensively, he did what we hoped he would do tonight. It helped slow down the scoring of Chris Paul and James Harden. Talk about what impressed you most about Elfrid Payton tonight.
Yeah, the numbers were great, but the one thing I'm looking at, and it's the one turnover he had. I'll be honest, guys. I saw a lot of the Pelicans players slacking in preseason, but I always thought mm-hmm. that Elfrid Payton was trying. And he was kind of trying pretty hard to not only fit in, but to do well. And you saw it in training camp, then in the practices during the preseason, even in the preseason games. You know what? His reads were bad. His instincts mm-hmm. were bad. He was, you know, losing the dribble off his foot, I remember. His defense, while the effort was there, his defense was kind of below average too. As to where he was just taking either long routes around a screen or something along that nature. So he looked like he was out of sorts. But like I said, I thought that he was one of the few Pelicans who I thought was, you know, trying relatively hard to impress. And so for him to post tonight's game, and you're right, Preston, I thought the best thing he did tonight, besides that one turnover, was making the right read and just attacking the rim hard, because the Rockets were crowding AD on several possessions quite a lot, you know, even double teaming when he didn't have the ball, or they were really up on Drew Holiday or Nikola Mirotic on the perimeter. So Elfrid had worlds of space, but good for him. He took advantage of it and he got to the rim and he converted. I know he missed those two free throws, and what did he have, guys? A couple of, I think, looks from 3-point range, but
he was over 2 for 3.
But it would be nice if he'd make the free throws. But other than that, stellar game. You got to give him an A, concerning what we saw out of preseason. Oh, and defensively, real quick, I noticed him. He actually frustrated both Chris Paul and James Harden at times, where he got his hands in the passing lane, as well as not letting those two guys around them that much, just like Drew Holiday. So maybe all this talk that we heard in preseason, you know, even on media day, that the Pelicans' backcourt of Drew Holiday and Elfrid Payton would be the best one defensively. Maybe those guys are right.
I'm going to be patient with that kind of talk. I know David and I have talked in the offseason that Elfrid Payton does this back-to-back nights, sometimes 2 weeks at a time. He goes on these significant runs that makes it look like he could be an all-star level caliber player at some point in his future, but then he always often regresses to the mean. David, we did talk about defensively his performance as well as Drew Holiday. I want to continue with that line of thinking. Obviously, they frustrated James Harden and Chris Paul, a la the way they did to Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum in the playoffs last year. The Rockets on the night, 42%, 33% from three-point range. Didn't let them get any points in transition, kind of mitigated that as well. They got back on defense quickly, just 44 points in the paint, did not let them attack. Talk about the defensive performance, because that was our principal concern. The Pelicans allowed 125 per game in their 5 preseason games, but they put the clamps on early in this one.
Well, what was interesting is you saw in the first quarter, it seemed like the Rockets were really getting a lot of action in the pick and roll. That was allowing them, when they closed the gap in the first quarter after Pelicans had gotten off to that great start, it was because they were continuously running that pick and roll. And that would even give Capella a couple of quick dunks after he had gotten stuffed by AD, and Harden was able to get into the lane. Well, the Pelicans made the adjustment and they stopped letting the Rockets get deep into the paint in the half court. Now, the Rockets were able to do it on a couple of other occasions, but when Harden wasn't able to get to the lane and they weren't hitting their shots on the outside, they took nothing from the mid-range. And I know that's their philosophy, to not take shots in the mid-range, but they got nothing in that area. So they didn't adjust offensively to where they could get to the areas where the Pelicans would give them an advantage. And that started with the guard play between Drew and Elfrid, just not allowing Chris Paul and James Harden to turn the corner, to not make that body contact that Harden likes to make to get to the free throw line. I thought that was just huge, because then it allowed Anthony Davis and Julius Randle to get back into the paint on guys who were trying to cut and to make it harder for them to score. I mean, you saw it when Carmelo Anthony comes out, hits a couple jumpers, but when he tried to get into the lane, tried to back down people, Julius Randle was able to frustrate him. AD was able to frustrate him. They couldn't get anything in the post area, and they couldn't get anything in the pick and roll afterwards. So their offense became extremely one-dimensional. So I think Darren Erman did a great job of an adjustment after the first quarter, to really cut the Rockets' head off offensively.
Ali, just to pump the brakes on the optimism for just 1 second, the Pelicans had three starters play 37 minutes or more. Nikola Mirotic had 30, Moore had 34. Off the bench, a disappointing performance again from Darius Miller and Solomon Hill. Darius Miller looked gun-shy yet again, only two shots, missed both of them. Solomon Hill, 1 for 3, looked out of sorts from time to time. The Pelicans did not give the nod to Frank Jackson, Jahlil Okafor, who was said to be available tonight. Ian Clark got no minutes off the bench. Obviously, we might see Wes Johnson and Tim Frazier in the future, but tonight they were held out for obvious reasons. Ali, the Pelicans roster looks six men deep right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, but what's funny, my first thought came to me when you were reading all the negatives was, what, there's room for improvement? Honestly, you're right. It does look like, but you know, I think they're seven deep. I think Darius Miller tonight did look a little bit apprehensive. He short-armed a three-pointer, and then he also had, I forget who he fouled. It might have been James Harden or somebody on the drive, and he looked really off, you know. So he wasn't the same guy that I noticed all preseason. And you know what? I think that Darius Miller is still going to have a really good year. So I would call the Pelicans seven deep as of this moment. And this isn't just my, you know, what I've noticed, but I've also talked to some Pelicans people, and they think Darius Miller is in store for a big year. They've kind of noticed what we've all noticed, where it's not just his shooting, but his movement is better, cleaner. He's lost some weight. So, again, his game has improved, but we just didn't get to see it tonight. But, yeah, Preston, seven deep is not going to get it done at this pace. I think we all even noticed that they were kind of winded there towards the end of that third quarter, where, what was it, Houston made like a 12-1 run before the Pels kind of righted the ship and went on a 6-0 run of their own. That's going to be a little bit of a concern, because let's face it, they won't be able to handle an injury or, let's say, a back-to-back. So you hope that, you know, maybe this was just because it's the Houston Rockets. Maybe there was a premium put on this game. And then so against the Kings, maybe we'll see Ian Clark back in there. Either Ian Clark or Frank Jackson pick up a little bit more guard minutes and so on. You know, maybe Jahlil Okafor will get in there a little bit more. But you know what? It's hard to fault anything what the Pelicans did tonight, simply because they played so well together as a unit as to where they look so disjointed over preseason. You know, I know eight men that played the major minutes, but it's hard to criticize. It's just one game out of 82. So you got to think some other guys are going to emerge.
All right. Now we're joined by Jamile Dunn of thebirdrights.com. You can follow him at JamDunn06. Is that right, Jamile?
Yeah, JamDunn06.
Great. Jamile, we've talked a little bit about the Pelicans big, obviously, and the performance of newly acquired Elfrid Payton. But I want to talk about the other two backcourt mates. Etuan Moore and Jrue Holiday didn't necessarily get the point totals, but did wonders in terms of, minimalizing what James Harden, Chris Paul, and Eric Gordon were able to do on the night. Really high plus-minus numbers for all of them. Efficient from the field. Etuan Moore, 8 of 12. He helped stop a couple of runs in the fourth quarter with a couple of runners of his own. Jrue Holiday, we just talked about his hounding defense of James Harden and Chris Paul. Whenever those guys would manage a switch, Jrue Holiday would hound them and chase them down, double-teaming them, forcing them to give up the ball. Talk a little bit about what you saw from Etuan Moore and Jrue Holiday on a night that might have been quiet statistically. Etuan Moore did finish with 21 points. Wow, he exploded in the second half. Talk a little bit about their performances tonight.
Yeah, I thought both of them played really well. I mean, obviously Drew had sort of a slow night offensively, so he'll have better days ahead in terms of the offensive side of the game. But I thought it was kind of interesting. While I was watching the game, I was thinking this is kind of the inverse of what you see with a lot of teams, where the big men are doing all the dirty work, and then the guards are, you know, getting all the shine. This team is kind of inverse, where, I mean, the big men obviously do a ton of dirty work too, but they were really, you know, taking care of Harden and Paul. So that's the first priority if you're playing the Rockets, staying up on those guys so they don't walk into those open threes that they're so dangerous with. So I thought they did a great job there. Holiday was great on Harden, especially early, like in the first half. Really never let Harden get into a rhythm. I wish offensively Holiday would have been a little more aggressive, but then on the other side, you could argue that, you know, there's something to players who understand the night, and sometimes everybody's got it going and you don't quite have it going. And it's okay sometimes to defer on those nights and say, hey, you know, Randall's going, Nico is hitting literally everything. AD obviously is being AD. Even Etwan, as you mentioned, was having a good game. Peyton was doing some things. So, you know, I think he kind of recognized that and didn't take more initiative. But as they go forward, they're going to need him to be aggressive with the ball, doing several points in the game where he's going to need to get the defense moving. But maybe he was just trying to play within the flow of what was going on tonight. So maybe I'll give him a break on that. But that was kind of my only real critique of the two. I thought more, I mean, he this is why you love him, Preston. Like, this is why he's your guy. Like, he's the ultimate glue guy. And, you know, there were a ton of open looks tonight for a lot of people. So, you know, he's a great shooter. So if you do give him wide open looks, he's going to hit them. But I thought he also moved the ball. He moved off the ball. Everybody's movement off the ball for most of the game was really good. But of course, Etwan was excelling in that area and just keeping everything going and guarding Paul when he had to, holding his own on Harden when he had to. There were a couple switches where he had some bigger guys on him that he held his own there, you know, as much as you can expect for a guy giving up that much size. So I thought he had a good game.
Jamal, let me give you a quick follow-up since you're just joining us. This is from Waka Waka Wakanda. He asks, who impressed you the most tonight?
It's tough because that answer should pretty much always be Anthony Davis, but I mean, gosh, man, it's tough. I'm going to give you like a little bonus answer, Waka Waka Wakanda. So I think there were two. First, AD's passing. I don't know if you guys mentioned that already or not. But, I mean, if he's unlocked that piece of his game, I'm not sure how high he can go. Like, he's unstoppable if he's just going to beat the double teams with amazing passes. Like, there was one in particular where he was in the post on the left side of the court, and they double him. And then I think it was Holiday, either Holiday or Moore or someone, cut under the basket. So they're open under the basket, and he does a behind-the-back pass to them, you know, from his position in the post. He's facing up, right? So, and I was like, wow. I've literally, there's not many times now, having watched him for so many years, that he does something I'm like, oh, I've never seen that. I've never seen it before. It's always like, yeah, well, you know, yeah, he's done that. I've literally never seen him make a pass like that before. So hopefully that's something that's going to continue, but we'll see on there. But beyond AD, I would have to say Alfred Payton, just because of the level of expectation I had for him. And he did exactly what I had hoped he would do, which was be aggressive, not turn the ball over. And he was good defensively. I mean, he was good defensively. There were a couple of gaffes he had at certain points, especially in the first half, I saw, where things kind of got haywire. But some of that is kind of their pace, because they play so fast, things kind of get loose at times. But overall, he did a good job. You could see that Chris Paul did have some issues with his size, which is what you want to see. That's the benefit of having a guy that big. So I'm really encouraged that I was right and Preston was wrong. So, I mean, I thought it was good.
Well said, sir. Let's go over to David because we were talking about something that Jamal just addressed. David and I were DMing about it on Twitter, specifically about that behind-the-back bounce pass to a cutting Drew Holiday. And then on the ensuing possession, after he just finished rejecting, I think it was Melo on the previous possession, he followed it with another pass under the basket, I think this time to Nikola Mirotic. David, we were talking about how far he can ascend with this new aspect of his game. How much better can Anthony Davis become offensively with this new tool? And do you think that this is something that really has grown this significantly over one summer?
Now, I think, again, we should take this with a little bit of a grain of salt. I'm not trying to downplay it at all. But again, when you have PJ Tucker behind you at 6'4", that's what you expect Anthony Davis to do. The difference is before he wouldn't have done that. So against a guy like PJ Tucker or against James Ennis or Michael Carter Williams, all these guys who were smaller than him who were defending him tonight, that was the smart play. And he recognized that and took advantage of it. And I think that that's the difference, is the recognition. Every night is not going to be, oh, AD's going to have 6, 7, 8 assists. Let's not start expecting that. But if he can be at 3 and 4 every night and recognizing when to get rid of the ball, when to make his move, if that's a change, then yeah, that is a significant upgrade. I still would love to see AD not do the thing where he settles for jumpers. Like he did in the third. I think fatigue was a part of that. And the early fourth, he did a little bit of that. And then I still would like to see him add that one go-to post move. But again, that's, you know, we're quibbling at the Mona Lisa. But as far as the passing, yeah, that, I think it's a development, and I think it will continue to improve. I don't think it's as high as it is tonight. This is the outlier. You're not going to get 8 assists every night out of AD. But I think the mentality of recognizing when you have a mismatch, getting rid of the ball quickly, and when the double team comes or when the mismatch is not beneficial for you scoring and you see that guy cutting, I think that recognition is, like I said, is a maturation of his game, which will take him to another level. But that level is still, you know, he's in that top 1% of the top 1% of this league already.
Yeah, we talked to Ben DeBose of Locked On Rockets, and he said they were a little bit shorthanded in the front court behind Clint Capella, and he lamented about Clint Capella possibly getting into foul trouble and them having no solution for Anthony Davis, Nikola Mirotic, and Julius Randle. And that prompts me to this next question, Ali. The Pelicans have the Kings, the Clippers, the Nets on the docket. Now we've seen how small ball fares against the Pelicans, albeit in a small sample size, but we saw the Pelicans out-rebound the Rockets by 17, 54 to 37. Of course, everybody knows the points in the paint, 76 to 44. The Pelicans had 36 assisted shots on 52 makes. And a lot of those came from the big men, just that 4-5 pick and roll, the 3-4 game underneath the paint, back baskets just coming too easily for these big men. Ali, do you think the league takes a look at this game and starts going big against the Pelicans in the future?
Well, even if they want to, do they have the personnel on the rosters to do it? You know, with this new small ball craze, as we've noticed, there's less and less centers on teams now, where everybody's basically wants to have that big guy that can not only move quickly, but also be able to shoot the ball. So, you know what? I don't think there's too many teams out there that can, say, handle a pairing of Julius Randle and Anthony Davis out there at the same time. And again, we kind of all figured this would happen. You know, as long as the Pelicans would force the issue, go down in the post, or at least just somehow get the ball in the paint and just pound away, maybe pound that offensive glass, that they should have the upper advantage. And you know what? We wished for this last year, kind of when we still had DeMarcus Cousins. All too often, we didn't see them really utilize their size, especially in some really bad losses. But this opening game, we saw them do just that. And so you're right, Preston. The other teams have to be wondering, wow, not only can this team play fast, not only can they defend all five positions, but they're big. So we're going to have to kind of be able to muscle them out of the paint. And like I said, I don't think a lot of teams have the requisite or just their size on the roster to be able to do that. So upper hand, New Orleans.
All right, Jamal, let's talk about Nikola Mirotic's shooting, because he had 10 points early on in the first quarter. And when Mirotic comes out firing like he did in a couple of games against the Blazers in round one, the Pelicans seemingly are unstoppable. They're a freight train that just cannot be caught. Nobody can keep up with the pace of the Pelicans or the scoring outside of maybe the Warriors and the Rockets in other instances. But tonight, he just had it. 6 of 8 from three-point range. Anytime the Rockets mounted a run, he was able to quickly quell whatever momentum they were getting to. He's not going to shoot like this every night. Just how big is his contribution when he is electric like this? And if he's not firing on all cylinders, what other aspects of his offensive game do you expect him to start employing?
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, tonight he was on fire, right? He's my Etwan Moore, right? So, yeah, it won't be like that every night. But look, the NBA is like, it's about what people expect from you, right? So even when Steph Curry or Klay Thompson or someone has a bad shooting night, it kind of doesn't matter because they basically have the same effect on the game, except they don't score as many points. But the defense is just as stressed out every time they take a shot, right? And so if he can just be a consistent threat, you know, in the 40% range, and, you know, he's capable of that. You know, he's definitely capable of shooting that well over the course of the season. So if he can keep it in that range, he's going to create all kinds of space. You saw, you know, the Rockets had no answer for what the Pelicans had. They couldn't handle AD inside or Randle when he was on the floor. And then the bigs either didn't want to or couldn't get out on Nico, or they would have a small guy switch on to Nico. We saw 1 3-pointer where Chris Paul standing in front of him, and he just shoots over him. It's like, well, there's no need to even move here. I mean, some of those threes he hit were ridiculous, but, and, you know, a lot of them were open shots that he can hit, you know? So when he's going like that, it is extremely hard to beat the Pelicans because they've got the advantage inside, and then they've got the advantage outside. Now, to the second part of that question about when he's not going like that, what can he contribute? Well, I mean, he was still giving a great effort on the defensive side. He was still, you know, fighting for offensive rebounds and doing a lot of the different dirty work. That was one of the things I was most encouraged about with the bigs, just overall, because it was something I felt you could replicate. Like, if you play the Rockets 10 times, I'm not saying you're always going to have this result we had tonight. Definitely not. But that some of those plays where, you know, the ball is up there and AD and Nico especially, but also Randle, you know, they're just skying over these guys. There's nobody on the floor who's literally big enough to get a rebound over them in certain situations if the ball's within their reach. So every time they play the Rockets, you know, they're not about to grow unless they make a trade. So that's going to be an advantage regardless. Now, other things may fall apart in different games, but that'll always be there. So I was really encouraged about that. And, you know, Nico's a big part of that. So, you know, even if he's not shooting well, he's still 7 feet tall. He still is going to get a lot of rebounds. He still has a reputation as a shooter. So he'll affect the defense in that way. So as long as he's a consistent threat over the season, I think, you know, it kind of doesn't matter whether they fall or not on a given night.
David, we talked about the shortened rotation. We talked about the high threshold of minutes played by Payton, Holiday, and Davis. They each played over 37 minutes. Obviously, this game was nationally televised. Obviously, it was against the number one seed in the Western Conference last year. And obviously, they can't play, you know, just seven guys 20 minutes a game for the remainder of the season with nobody else getting more than 10 minutes, and that was Solomon Hill. David, this game was clearly important to the New Orleans Pelicans. They clearly wanted to send a message to the Western Conference. They clearly wanted to put Anthony Davis in the national spotlight and get him some love and attention tonight. Just how important do you think this game was against their Southwest rival, the Houston Rockets? And do you think the Pelicans continue to show out like this with their shortened 8-man rotation against other competitors on national television? Or do you think I'm reading too much into this?
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, because, you know, for the Rockets, their goal, again, is a little bit different than the Pelicans. They made the Western Conference Finals last year. They're looking at long term. They're going to go home tonight and say, you know, Chris Paul obviously is not the kind of guy who gives away games, but they're going to say, we were shorthanded. We're going to get better as the season goes along. We'll make some acquisitions, da, da, da. This was a much more important game, a much more significant game for the Pelicans for both of the reasons you talked about plus one. One, it was important as a statement for the whole NBA to look and say, okay, the Pelicans may be legitimate contenders. The second was, yes, Anthony Davis needed this win. He needed to come out on opening night and show, again, for himself, I think, to show that he could back up what he said. And then the third thing is, I think it's big for the city of New Orleans, because you, as you watch social media tonight, you saw the reactions of people who are engaged in this game, who are excited about this game, and you're coming back for a homestand. You're playing Friday against a Sacramento Kings team that's not exciting on paper, but at the same time, it's a team that, you know, we had some notable losses against. It's a team with, what, eight guys who are 6'9 or bigger, so it should be a very different test. But you want Friday to be an electric atmosphere at the Smoothie King Center. So I think all those things were important for the Pelicans. It wasn't as important for the Rockets tonight, but you're going to play them three more times. And each one of those games will also be, you know, more and more important as the season goes along. So I don't want to project too far in the future. Let's just say tonight you couldn't have asked for more out of the Pelicans. It couldn't have been any better. And for the Rockets, it's one loss. They'll look at it as 1 of 82. I think Alvin will look at it as 1 of 82. But it was important. This was an important one. They'll put an asterisk next to this one as an important one of the 82 for the Pelicans.
All right, shout out again to Ben DeBose of Locked On Rockets. We correctly predicted just the minutes threshold of James Harden, Chris Paul, and Eric Gordon in this one. And like David just mentioned, they were shorthanded. They also played a shortened rotation with just Michael Carter-Williams, Eric Gordon, and Carmelo Anthony getting the bulk of the minutes, and Clint Capella just playing 26 minutes. So you had a lot of PJ Tucker playing the five position, as David has mentioned. Ali, let's go over to you, sir. Why don't you go ahead and take a victory lap for yourself? You, Kevin, predicted a win tonight. I can't remember who the third person was, but why don't you go ahead and mention it and run a victory lap for yourself, sir?
Jamal predicted as well, and he can join in, can he?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Well, that was sweet. Now, you know, after the regular, right when the preseason ended, I was a little bit worried. I remember talking to David especially about how they looked, and you were kind of worried. But then I started talking to the players, and especially when you kind of then look back at some of the games, which I did, you saw them kind of going, you know, at half speed, and then listen to AD just basically saying he really didn't try it all in preseason. And then you kind of picked up on the other guys doing it. And then, of course, and I looked at, you know, Anthony Davis wanted to make a statement. I just felt like that the Pelicans could come in and kind of catch the Houston Rockets on the first game of the season. You know, it's a long season. They're off of where they missed making the finals by just one game last season. So for them, they didn't have the longest of off seasons, and they're probably still, that might have still been in the back of their minds. But either way, they're not going to be up as much as, say, some team like the Pelicans, who are being led by a leader who wants to prove a point. So I basically just went off that gut instinct, and I got lucky. I'm curious, Jamil, what about you? What made you think that they were truly going to maybe possibly pull this one out?
Well, that really, I was looking at it more just because I didn't think the Rockets could handle our size. Because if you remember in that unfortunate game when DeMarcus Cousins went down against Houston, they were having a lot of trouble with the Pel's size, right? AD and at the time, Boogie. And, you know, that situation only got tougher to deal with AD. With them adding Julius Randle, right? So, and when you start looking at the matchups, I was thinking, well, okay, well, you can match Capella up with AD. I mean, that's still advantage Pelicans. And then who's going to guard Nico? Okay, PJ Tucker, but he's undersized. And then you've got, you know, Julius Randle, who's, you know, who's also bigger than PJ Tucker and quicker than him. I didn't think the Rockets matched up well with the Pels. My only question about, you know, if they could pull off the win was, would they guard the perimeter? Would they give up a ton of open threes? Because I was thinking, oh, they're going to play fast. And if their defense looked anything like it did in the preseason, you know, the Rockets could end up getting a bunch of open threes. And so that would kind of, that would make up for the advantage you had inside, you know, if you're giving up a bunch of open shots. But they were able to, you know, prevent Houston from taking as many threes as they normally would like, and then, you know, didn't convert at a high enough rate. So they were able to hold that backcourt down somewhat, even though, you know, it's kind of crazy because, you know, almost getting a, I think Harden had a triple double or he was close, you know, but that's for him a down night, right? Because he wants to score. So, you know, they were able to do that, and I thought if they could do that, they would win. And so that was my only question mark, because like I said before, that, you know, of course it's one night. It doesn't mean, you know, it's like you said, one of 82, right? But at the same time, what I was hoping to see, I saw in that there's so many times bigs in this league, and when you watch them play teams like the Rockets and others that play a similar style, they don't make them pay. How many times do we see guys, you know, Harden switch onto a big man, Chris Paul switch onto a big man, even last year on AD, like Chris Paul would switch on AD, and sometimes he would, you know, do a turnaround jumper. And it's like, dude, take advantage. And I thought that was really kind of a tone that Julius Randle was setting, because the thing I love about him is he makes the small guy pay every single time. And when Houston was switching everything, regardless, they didn't care. And the Pelicans made them pay for it, right? They're bigger, they're stronger, but they're also able to get to the rim on their own. So that was the advantage I felt the Pels had. They'll have it all four times they play. Now, will they be able to hold Harden down all four times? I don't know. That's the difference in whether they'll win or lose, probably.
All right. Thank you, guys.
I got a question for you guys. And I know we've all been saying it's just been one game, but I've got a question. And, you know, when the Moose finished, basically, for the most part, the offseason free agency and stuff, I figured that the Houston Rockets were going to be, you know, a notch or two below what we saw last season. Now, after seeing just, I know it's been one game, do you guys kind of agree with that sentiment, or do you think it's just even too early now to make such a prediction?
No, I think the Rockets absolutely took a step back in the offseason, and it's not just about, you know, people keep, you know, tonight broadcast talking about, well, you know, lost Luke Abamute and Trevor Ariza. Well, it wasn't just about them. I think more importantly, it was losing Jeff Bizdelic, who was in charge of the defense. And I think he was really important to them in creating their defensive identity. The Rockets were a top 10 defense last year. If they play the way they did tonight, they will not be. Part of that's on their personnel, but also their schematically, they never made that adjustment. You know, if you're going to be that small and play against the Pelicans, then what you have to do is create more tempo. And they didn't create more tempo. They let the Pelicans dictate it at this pace that they wanted to. And the Pelicans could slow it down if the initial break wasn't there and then throw it into the bigs. And once they switched, it was over. So I think the Rockets, yeah, are not a 65-win team this year. I think they'll probably be closer to like a 55-win team, in my opinion, than 65. And remember, this is a Western Conference where there were only two teams that won 50 games. So with the West getting stronger, there has to be some regression for them. And I think there's going to be some regression again for the Warriors too, as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're a bit short-handed, losing Luke Mbamute and Trevor Ariza. Those guys along the perimeter would have helped in tonight's contest. And they're like the Pelicans. They're going to need to bolster their depth, their bench. James Harden's not going to give you more than 35 minutes a night. Chris Paul, we've seen, is going to be somewhere around the 30 to 32 threshold. Eric Gordon is still nursing an injury. I don't know what they expect to get from Brandon Knight or Nene. They also have a young 7-footer. I'm not going to pronounce his name because Kelly Ego murdered me for it. But they have some pieces to build on. They have some work to do to get back to the depth they had last year. And we still don't know what to expect from Melo. He was 3 of 10 tonight, negative 20. He's probably just figuring out his place in this offense. We don't know if he'll return to some of his days from the Knicks and the Nuggets, or if he's just becoming that player that he was with Oklahoma City last year. Chris Paul says that he's not getting enough respect. So we'll have to see on that matter. You guys were at about the 45-minute threshold. So I want to go ahead and wrap up and just get some predictions. And I'll start with Jamile. Obviously, the homecoming game against the Sacramento Kings on Friday night. Do you expect a letdown performance?
I do not. I mean, it's obvious that you could tell from this performance by the number of minutes they played and how intense they were that, you know, the beginning of the season is important to them. We all know how, you know, and AD has been here the whole time, right? So he knows that, you know, you get off to a slow start in the West, you know, it can be tough sledding, you know, trying to get back into it. So I think the start is important to them. They wanted to make a statement tonight against Houston. And, you know, coming home for a home opener against a bad Sacramento team, you know, if you want to be the MVP, you don't come home and then lay an egg against Sacramento. And quite frankly, they're just a better team, right? They have more talent, more experience. So I think they're going to get it done against the Kings. Maybe if you had a a better team, you can have a slight letdown, but I think they're just going to have too much for the Kings. So I'm taking the Pels on that one.
David, we've got the Kings, the Clippers on Tuesday, and the Nets next Friday. What do you think the likelihood is that the Pelicans finish next week at 4-0?
Well, I think the likelihood is greater than the unlikelihood. I would say it's probably about 80%, I would put it at. You know, it's always hard to get off to an undefeated start for a whole week. But the thing I like about the early start, the early schedule, is that each of these teams is very different. Houston tonight, obviously, is a team that wants to shoot threes. You go to Sacramento, a lot of long bigs and a lot of short guards. So stylistically, it's very different. And then you get the Clippers, who are going to play another different style of basketball. And then you go to Brooklyn, who also wants to be a very pace, up-tempo team, but does it in a different way than the Rockets. They do shoot a lot of volume threes, but they have some bigs who can protect the rim on the inside. So I think that's great for the Pelicans in allowing them to be forced to play different styles and tempos over the first week while they all adjust to each other. But yeah, they should win all three of those home games heading up into the Utah game, which obviously would be their toughest game after Houston. But yeah, I think they can win and be 4-0 by the end of next Friday.
Ale Cosell, Elfrid Payton, was the first player with a triple-double in his debut game with a new team since Lewis Lloyd of Houston on October 29th, 1983, 5 days before I was born. Just how excited do you think the Smoothie King Center is going to be on Friday night? And we'll close with that.
I think they're going to be pretty pumped. I'm actually happy that it's going to be on a Friday night. It's going to give the fans a chance to come out of the game. And as we all know here in New Orleans, on regular weekday nights, especially when the football season is still going on, it's just difficult to get that Smoothie King Center to fill up. But I think, you know, some expectations building off of last year's success and now this huge win against Houston, it's going to have that SKC arena pumped up, and I can't wait.
All right, you guys, let's close it on that. Thank you so much. Again, you can follow Ale Cosell at Ale Cosell, the editor-in-chief of thebirdrights.com. David Grubb, you can follow him at DM Grubb of Crescent City Sports, and Jamile Dunn at Jam Dunn 06. Thank you so much to them. I've got an article, a recap right now, and we'll probably convert that into a podcast, or I'll post another one. Look out for Kevin Berrios. This guy, for sure, is probably going to give us 3,000 solid words on tonight's matchup in the Toyota Center. So look for that tomorrow morning. For now, thank you all so much for listening. If you can do us a favor, I know I ask every week, rate us on iTunes, subscribe on iTunes, Spreaker, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast from. We'll be back probably with a preview of either the Kings or the Clippers this weekend. So look back for that. And then we'll have the whole gang back this weekend to preview the upcoming week in a bit more depth. For now, thank you guys for listening. I'm Preston Ellis. Let's go, Pels. Thank you for listening to The Bird Calls on the Off the Glass, Nothing But Net and Up and Under podcast networks. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo?
Send her my condolences.
Hi-o!
This next one's for you, too.
There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.